possible.
Only believe. Only believe. Only believe that all things are possible. Heavenly Father, Lord, we believe today. We thank you for the faith that you give us, Lord. The grace in our life, the mercy. Where would we be without Calvary, Lord? Where would we be without the blood? Oh, Lord, we thank you for your mercy. And Lord, we look to you today, realizing there is no man that we can look to but the God-man, Jesus Christ. And Lord, you promised where two or three were gathered together, there you'd be in the midst. We thank you for being here today. Forgive us of our sins. Wash us in the blood, Lord. Make us white as snow. Lift us up in the heavenly places, Lord. Fill us with the Holy Ghost. May that same baptism that happened on the day of Pentecost baptize each and every one of us here today. May tongues of fire hang over each and every one of us. May we try to speak in our language and another one comes out. Lord, we want you in a supernatural way to manifest yourself the same yesterday, today, and forever. Not because we're worthy, Lord, but because you're worthy. And because you promised, oh God, we're looking for you. We're looking for a rain, Lord, to quicken that seed word. Bless each and every one that's here today. Bless the reading of your word now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While we're standing, can we turn to Psalms 39? Psalms 39. And I'm going to read this whole psalm. It's only 13 verses. Psalm 39, verse 1. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days, and what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? What wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth because thou didst it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. When thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. Selah. Hear my prayer, O God, and give ear to my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. O spare me, that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. May the Lord bless the reading from His Word. You may be seated this morning. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's nothing like the Word of God. Amen. It's not a book of man. It's a book. I really have no doubt it's the Word of God.
Amen.
You know, and that's a beautiful thing to have that revelation in your life. So, before we get into the message today, just a quick announcement. We put on the back a list of some of the people that responded about the May trip, and right now we're in the beginning stages of trying to understand what we need to do as far as do we need a bus or a couple vans? Do we need hotels, and how many are we going to need? I realize some people can't make it. I've already heard that from people. But if you're even thinking about going, we would want you to sign up on the list for now. And then you'll have a chance in a month or so to say definitely yes or definitely no. But right now, if you're even considering the possibility, we really would like to see how many that would be. And then that'll help us as we're trying to, in the early stages of this. That Sunday, this is only going to be a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So we're leaving early in the morning Friday, and then it's a busy day, and Saturday's a busy day. And then Sunday, we're looking at it. Looks like we're going to have a joint service with Brother Sanger and another pastor out that way that I don't know. I forget his name. And, of course, the Elkton Church is already invited, but I'm not sure what they're going to do. So I asked Johnny and Samantha to reach out to Brother Ron. So, which welcome Brother Sandy and his family today. God bless you. And they're growing up, brother. Sister, what are you going to do? Amen. Praise the Lord. We trust in the Lord.
Amen.
We trust in the Lord. So, but anyway, I really would like to get some feedback today, if at all possible. Just, again, you say, well, I'm not sure. I don't want to put my name down. Well, if you think you may go, just put your name down, and you won't be held to it. Later on, we'll lock it down, and we'll say, we need to know yes or no right now. So, okay, everybody understand? Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, sometimes, I'm sure you have this experience, and sometimes when you least expect it, if you're just feeding on the Word of God, you get such a blessing. It's such a blessing to take the time that you have, the free time, and give it to God.
Amen.
And say, you know what? I could listen to a song or music or whatever you like to listen to, but I'm gonna read, or I'm gonna listen to the Word of God. And you know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So it's such a blessing. And for me, I was taking a walk the other day, trying to walk more, and Maureen and I are trying to walk. We walked 6 miles Saturday, praise God.
Amen.
My feet still work, you know, that's a good thing. But, and Maureen's fast, so you got to keep up with her, you know. But praise the Lord, you know, I think it's good to get out and to exercise. God knows I need it more. But one day I was walking by myself, and I was listening to the Psalms. And how beautiful are the Psalms?
Amen.
You know, I heard a man say one time, he was a man that went to the Vietnam War, and he was a motivational speaker at some conference I was at, and he didn't have an arm and he didn't have a leg. And Clay McCleary was his name, and he was a very good speaker, and I was surprised he was at the conference I was at, because it was all worldly people. But this man was a Christian. And he went to Vietnam, and he was on the front lines. He was a young man, an officer, and he would go out on the tough missions. And one mission, and he was in there not as a Christian. And one mission, he was out there, and they started coming at him, and a grenade blew up, and it looked like he was going to die. And he said, you know, I could have died right there, but he lost a leg and an arm, and he was somehow. The troops came and saved him and got him out of there, and he became a Christian. And he said, he gave a great motivational speech about, you know, someone who loses their arm and leg and is still just going full force. Amen. You have to admire that. Amen. And so he basically said, every day I read the Psalms and the Proverbs. He said, the Psalms helps me with my relationship with God, and the Proverbs helps me with my relationship with man. Amen. And I thought, praise God. Amen. There's wisdom there. You know, I was happy about that. And some of the worldly guys that I know that I've been witnessing to, they had to enjoy his talk, you know. And they came up to me kind of sheepishly afterwards and said, I was thinking about you, John. I said, good. Think about God. Think about his word, you know. So I love the Psalms because they're deep. They hit us deep. They have real feeling in them. It's not a surface thing. David did not have a surface relationship with God. He had a deep, heartfelt relationship, and God said he's a man after my own heart. Not because he was always good, but there was something going on inside of David that was good. Not him, but I believe what he believed about God and what he could see about himself and his relationship was good. And that doesn't mean God was always pleased with him. And by the way, who's God always pleased with?
Amen.
So don't ever give up because you fail.
Amen.
Keep turning back to God. And David had this ability to be aware of his wretchedness, but still have faith to turn to God. What a precious thing. And that was before Calvary. Praise the Lord. So the Psalms, things have been on my mind. And that day, this psalm here tapped into something that was on my mind. And I want to talk about awareness today. And the title of this is, Lord, Make Me Aware. Make Me Aware. And so, because we live in a world where most people are not fully aware of what's going on. Actually, most people are completely living in darkness. They're not aware of truth. They're not aware of their condition and their need. And so, they're not conscious. And that word conscious we'll talk about, of things that are very important. But when you're born again, God makes you aware.
Amen.
He makes you aware. Even though you may not be aware of everything, you start to become aware of things that you weren't aware of before. I can remember the day God touched me. Right away, I could always see physically, but my eyes became open. And I started to see things that I didn't see before. I could see the devil and the way he was operating. And the devil's invisible to most people. But to Christians, they see what the devil moving and operating. So let's look at this word aware and what that means. The word aware means to have knowledge, conscious, and cognizant. Now, I want to get into it. Not too crazy, but what is conscious? Now, it has many meanings, you know. So, conscious means aware of one's own existence, sensations, thoughts, and surroundings. When you're aware, like you're conscious, you're fully aware or sensitive to something. For instance, conscious of one's own faults. When you're conscious of your faults. Are you conscious of your faults? Some people just don't have a clue of their own faults, right? Mm-hmm. Having mental faculties fully of active. He was conscious during the operation. That sounds like a nightmare to me, but he was conscious. You know, sometimes they want people to be awake, right, for some reason. Known to self, aware of what one is doing. For instance, a conscious liar. He's total. You ever meet somebody? Some people lie and they don't even, they believe their own lies, right? But some people lie and they're conscious they're lying, right? I work for a guy like that right now, so God, pray for me, right? So, aware of oneself, self-conscious, or deliberate, intentional. A conscious effort, when you consciously make an extra effort, right? And you say, I'm going to be to church early because I want to pray early and I want to get in the right atmosphere, right? When you consciously make that effort, You're conscious of that. So it means many different things. And when you look at cognizant, it ties right into that. But they all have a little bit of different meaning. And I just, there's a reason why I want to give you this background. So conscious, aware, cognizant, they're all kind of similar. They refer to an individual sense of recognition of something within or without oneself. Recognizing. Like, for instance, recognizing your day and its message. Praise God. You ever hear that one? It's a good one. Conscious implies to be awake or awakened, an inner realization of a fact or a truth, a condition. To be conscious of an extreme weariness. Well, you're conscious. You ever get really tired? Say, boy, I realize I'm really, you're conscious of that fact. Aware lays the emphasis on sense perceptions in so far that they are the object of conscious recognition. He was aware of the odor of tobacco. He was aware. His senses told him, right? And then cognizant lays the emphasis on outer recognition more than the level of reason and knowledge than the sensory alone. So he was cognizant of their drawbacks. He was cognizant of their draw. So there's different levels of being aware. And that's what I want us to see, is that some people can be a little bit aware. Some people aren't aware at all. But with God's help, I want to be fully aware of what's going on inside me and what's going on in the world. Amen? Amen. Lord, make me aware. Amen. That's my prayer today. And I want that to be your desire. That, you know, who really wants to go through life in a delusion? You know, I realize before the Lord came into my life, I was living in a delusional world. I was living in darkness. I didn't see. I didn't understand. I didn't know the truth. But when you know the truth shall make you free. Amen. See, if people realize the truth sometimes, if they really could see it, it would change them. Same with us. Amen. If we could realize the truth about us or what time it is. So when I go back to Psalm 39, verse 1 there, it says, I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. You know what this tells me? David had become aware. Amen. That there was a need to watch over what he said with his mouth. You know, when I think back at that, I think maybe he had an experience where he said things. And he was, you know, he said, I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. Because he maybe said things in the past, and that wicked person there twisted his words and used it against him. You ever have that happen to you? Someone twists your words, and they actually, whether they're conscious or not, they take your words and they don't take the meaning of what you really said. Amen. That happens to the message. Brother Bam says things, and people take the words, but a different meaning of what he meant. Say, so how do you know that? Because they don't take it from Genesis to Revelations. When you take a little quote, you can make Brother Branham a dogmatic Trinitarian with one quote. He sat there and prayed, oh Lord, may you send the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Blessed Trinity. Amen. Wait a minute, did he believe in a Trinity? No, he didn't. How do we know that? Because we take everything he said. So that one quote doesn't prove anything. Just like even one scripture, you got to take that and mesh it in with the whole. And you know what? You can't do it without the Holy Ghost. To rightly divide the word of truth takes the Holy Ghost in your life. Now, we understand that. And to be aware, we need the Holy Ghost. Frankly. So now David must have had an experience where he spoke them things and it got twisted up and regardless, it shows wisdom to watch over your words. Amen. To watch over your words. And Proverbs 29 says, a fool uttereth all his mind. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth until afterwards. You know, we shouldn't speak everything we think. How many are aware of that? You know, you meet people in life and they're not aware of that. Something pops into their head and then it pops out of their mouth. And you just cover your eyes and you're like, oh God, help us, Lord. A fool uttereth all of his mind. Listen, here's something to be aware of. Your mind is not who you are. Your mind is the greatest battle ever fought. Amen. Your mind is a messy place. Amen. What you are is what's in your soul. Amen. And sometimes my soul says, the things that come into my mind are not me and they need to go. Amen. Halt. Amen. Who goes there? You're not Jesus. Amen. Get out. Amen. Unbelief. Amen. Questions, doubts, fears. Wicked thoughts and imaginations. The Bible tells us to take every thought into captivity and make it subject to the Word of God. Amen. So your mind is not who you are. How dare you speak freely things that pop into your mind? It's not even who you are. You become a channel of the devil. Amen. The devil sits back and says, oh, we can put, watch this. I put anything into their mind and they just say it. How many times does that happen? But a wise person says, they ain't saying that. I don't even want to think about that no more. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. If you're not doing that, then the devil's just got control of you. Because your mind is not who you are. So when I look at this, even when we're before God, did you know that you need to be careful what you say before God? Let's turn to Ecclesiastes 5. You got that, Sean? Thank you, Sean. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 1. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. Amen. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. Do you know people that just say too much? Do you? You know, we know it's always easier to see faults in somebody else than in ourselves. We know that. So be careful. But my dad was a quiet man. And he had a saying that I love. And I've used it in my business dealings. Because I get around people that talk, and they don't say anything. You ever have that happen? You're not saying anything, you're making a lot of noise. But my dad would always say, a quiet person, a quiet man, is not necessarily the only one that doesn't say anything. A quiet person is not necessarily the only one that doesn't say anything. What's he saying? People talk and they talk and they talk. And the Bible said a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. Praise the Lord. Now, it doesn't mean you can't say amen in church now. It's going to get real quiet. Brother Bram said saying amen is like saying sick him. You know, go get the devil. All right, so Proverbs 17 says, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, now we're talking about a fool, but even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Amen. Praise God. So we should watch our words, and we shouldn't say everything we think. Amen?
Amen.
I believe David became aware of this truth. It's a truth. According to God's word, it's better to be a few words. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So then, Psalm 39:2, I was dumb with silence. So he became aware it's better for me not to say anything. I held my peace even from good. Even if he had like something that he knew that would be good to say, he stopped talking. And my sorrow was stirred. You know, sometimes when you do that, then it's all bottled up inside, isn't it? So all of his good things he wanted to say, or maybe the response he wanted to give to the fool in front of him, he didn't say anything. You ever do that? You ever bottle things up? And look what he says. My heart was hot within me while I was musing. The fire burned. Then I spake with my tongue. So to me, he was bottled up with not just being against other people, but himself. He'd become aware. Lord, make me to know mine end. Now let me stop right there for a moment. You know, David probably met people that just were completely clueless, that walk through life as if they have no end. They walk through life as if they're not going to be held accountable. They live today like there's no chance of them having to die. Help us, Lord. So David might have met these people and he said, Lord, but listen, I see people in that condition. Make me, though, to know mine end. Make me aware and the measure of my days. What it is that I may know how frail I am. David became aware of the frailty of life. And listen, brother, sister, Lord, make us aware of how frail we are and this life is. Do not presume. Venture without authority. I love this cry. This cry from David's depths of his heart. Lord, make me to know mine end. The measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. I love that. Praise God. Amen. He wanted to be able to see more clearly. Have you ever gotten to the place where you realized that you weren't fully aware? Amen. And you realize the need for the Lord to open your eyes. I have come to this place many times, and I believe the closer we get to God, really the more we become aware of our need, of our great need. When people do not see their own personal need, I relate that to very far from God. They can be religious as can be. They can have all kinds of self-righteousness, but that doesn't mean they're close to God. When you get close to God, He makes you aware of your condition, of the condition of the day, of the time you're living in. He makes you aware. Praise God. Again, we're walking through a life where most people live in darkness. But listen, don't compare yourself to the people of the world. We should not even compare ourselves among ourselves. The Bible says they, comparing themselves among themselves, were not wise. It's not wise to look at somebody to your left and right and say, well, I'm a little better than that one, and I'm a lot better than that one, so I'm all right. Maybe we're all really bad. Right? Help us, Lord. Most people living in darkness. Don't compare yourself to the world. The world, frankly, brothers and sisters, it's lost. Amen. And it's getting worse and worse and worse. Violence is getting worse. Insanity is getting worse. And listen, let me make you aware of something. The government's not going to fix this. It's totally in vain. To me, it's in vain to say, well, I'm going to get involved in politics and I'm going to get the government to fix this. There's only one Savior, and His name is Jesus Christ. The government is not your Savior, Christians. Amen. Jesus is your Savior. He's your protector. He's your security. He's your everything. I have no confidence in our government or any man. It's totally vain. But I understand people hurting. Loss of life, loss of children. A crazy kid goes into school and shoots people with an automatic rifle. And they say, why have these automatic rifles? I get it. Do you think they're going to get the automatic rifles? There's so many automatic rifles out there. Amen. To me, get into Christ.
Amen.
That's the safe place.
Amen.
Get into Christ. And then when that person walks in front of you, you'll have confidence that thing ain't going to go off unless it's my time.
Amen.
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 I've already passed from death into life.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You can take this body, but you can't take my soul.
Amen.
Don't fear him that can kill the body. Fear him that can kill the body and soul in hell.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Jesus said, don't fear him that can take your body.
Amen.
You going to obey God?
Amen.
All right. All right. Praise the Lord. Lord, make me to know mine end. I love that. Make me to know mine end. Make me more aware of where I am, my condition, that I may know how frail I am. I wish everybody would pray like this.
Amen.
I wish everybody would have the desire to know how frail life is. James chapter 4 says it really well in verse 13. We'll put it up on the board here. James 4:13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Look what he's saying. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. People making plans way out. Well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be there a year and do business and buy and sell. And he says, you don't know what's going to happen to you tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then it vanisheth away. You ever see the kettle boil? Everybody's seen the kettle boil, right? And when you watch a kettle boil, it takes longer. I don't know why. But when you look at the kettle, right? That's the truth, right? You become aware of that until you watch. You say, man, I took it too long. So anyway, when the steam comes out, which is not really steam because real steam, you can't see it. It's invisible. But this is just vapor. It's water vapor coming out. And so it boils and then it's just turning to a vapor. But, you know, it's hot. You know, I wouldn't put my hand on it. But look, it just comes out a little bit and it goes away. It comes out in a wispy kind of thing. And then it's no more. And the Bible, the Word of God says that's your life. Your life is a vapor. You exist for a very little time. It appeareth for a little time, vanisheth away. For we ought to say, you know, I appreciate when people do say it. I say it. If the Lord's will, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you're rejoicing, you rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. You know, we can't boast of another day or nothing. We can, you know, there, Christians don't boast. Why? Because they're aware of their frailty. The Holy Ghost in that born-again experience opens their eyes to their own wretchedness and their need for a Savior, and there is no boasting then. Even the Bible says we're saved by grace through faith. And that faith, not of yourself, it is the gift of God. There is no boastings then in being saved. Do you see the folly of a Christian looking down on anybody else when you're saved by grace?
Amen.
How dare you look down on somebody in the world? You couldn't be saved without the grace of God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
If we're fully aware of how frail this life is, would we live different? That's the question. Would we have a different attitude towards others? Towards ourself.
Amen.
I think we would. Life is short, very short. We're not guaranteed another day or a minute or hour. You know, I'm not guaranteed that I can get down from this pulpit. He holds the future in his hand. He holds my life in his hand. My heart beats by the will of God. And without the will of God, we don't have anything. Without the grace of God and the mercy of God. Are we aware of that? If we are aware, it should make us different. I think it should make us a little more compassionate and humble, because there's no boasting in that. Psalm 39:5. I want to continue through this psalm because it's such a beautiful thing to me. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth. How big is a handbreadth? Mine age is as nothing before thee. Of course, he never had a beginning or an end. Verily, every man at his best estate is altogether vanity. Whoa, let's step back for a moment. Now, I just get the feeling some people with this part of the psalm are going to say, well, that was just David talking. Or is it true? Is it true that every man at his best estate is altogether vanity? In other words, the best you can produce, vanity. Well, that lines up with other scriptures. All of our righteousness is filthy rags before God. We all fall short of the glory of God, even at your best estate. Brother Branham had experiences where he was transported out of this life, and he looked back and he said, listen, the best that this life can produce is a stinking dump heap. And people love this life so much. Oh, we should be living for that next life. This is the negative of a positive. There is a life. Something in my soul says there is a life beyond this life that isn't a stinking dump heap, where there is no sickness, there is no sorrow, there is no death, where there's joy unspeakable, where there's the love of God. There is a city whose builder and maker was God. There is a life that's worth living for. Why do we hold to this life so much? When the best this life can offer is a stinking dump heap. Well, I wasn't aware of that, Brother John. But, Lord, make me aware. So I don't put all my treasures here, where moth doth corrupt and the thief doth steal. And you know, you can work really hard to build up treasures here on earth, and they can be gone like that. Like that. Help us, Lord, to be aware. There's so much activity in this life that's completely vain. Have you ever noticed that? There's so much emphasis and hard work and pain and suffering and goals. And I step back and say it's all vanity. All that effort, for what? I'm involved in a business. I still work, right? And I step back from all the pressure and the goal setting and the pushing and the shoving and the management, micromanagement, all the activity. And I step back and I say it's all driven by greed. Amen. At the highest levels. Right. How many millions is enough? If you ever ask that question to somebody really up and you got a true answer, say, it's never enough. Amen. If you exceed your goals this year and you make millions and millions more and you get double-digit growth and you got $10 million in profits this year and you made $20 million in profits next year, listen, that's not enough. We're going to raise the goal to $30 million in profit. Amen. It's never enough. For that evil spirit of greed. It's never enough. And then you see somebody with wealth, and they're not even happy. What makes a human being happy? Jesus. He is the real treasure. to fight for.
Hallelujah.
He is the real thing to seek for.
Amen.
And when you seek him with all your heart, you'll surely find him.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Lord, make me aware.
Amen.
Are most of my activities and efforts completely in vain? Are my motives and objectives wrong? Lord, help me to see.
Amen.
Help me to see. I want to see.
Amen.
I don't want to be walking in a delusional like people in this world. I want to see. And maybe it hurts sometimes to see. But I'd rather know
Amen.
Than not know.
Amen?
Amen? Praise God.
Amen. Praise the living Lord. Amen.
He says here in 39 verse 6, surely every man walketh in a vain show. Think of that. We look at that and we say, amen. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. And he heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. Think of all this people spending their whole life gathering wealth. All their thoughts, all their efforts, everything they try and do is to become independently wealthy, and then they die. And where does all that go? Well, it goes to their kids and it ruins them. It ruins them. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I know somebody's sitting there saying, ruin me, ruin me. I get it. Because there's pressure in life. And listen, you need to work and you need to have an income to live and you need a house and God will help you work.
Right.
The Bible says, I haven't seen his seed
Amen.
Begging bread.
Hallelujah. Provider.
Amen. But I realize there's pressures in life. But listen, don't forget the main thing.
Amen.
He said, if you seek me first, the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, then all these other things everybody's chasing
Amen.
Will be added unto you.
Hallelujah.
Is that the word of God?
Amen.
Do we believe the word of God?
Amen.
Do our actions show we believe the word of God?
Amen.
Oh Lord, make me aware. Help me, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Oh, Lord, make me to know mine end.
Amen.
Verse 7. And now, Lord, what wait I for? I love this. My hope is in thee.
Amen.
My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth. See, here's a man that's been made aware, I believe, in my opinion. Here's someone who put his trust in the right place. Lord, my hope, my trust is in thee. My hope is in the Lord. My trust is in the Lord. I trust not myself. I trust not my own opinions. I don't trust any man. I trust the Lord.
Yes.
My trust is in the Lord.
Yes.
And in his word. Here's someone who could see all of his transgressions and his need for God to help him. Praise God. Why? I believe he could see. Now, we'll get into something here. I believe David could see because the Lord chastised him. He was not a bastard son. He was a son. And no son is without chastisement.
Amen.
Praise God. Look at verse 10 and 11 of Psalm 39. Remove thy stroke away from me. Oh, have you ever felt the stroke? You know, it's one thing for a human being to correct another human being. But it's another thing
Amen,
to be directly corrected by Almighty God.
Amen.
That's different.
Amen.
That's different. You know, I think all of us struggle sometimes to be corrected by one another because we don't always have the best technique, I would say.
Amen.
But he's perfect. Where can you go when Almighty God brings correction directly to your soul?
Amen, Lord.
You stand there open. The stroke.
Amen.
Sometimes it's too heavy. He's like, remove it from me. I'm consumed by the blow of thine hand. You know, when God gets a hold of you, he knows how to get a hold of you. Praise God. When thou with rebukes, look at this verse 11. I believe this is a truth. When thou with rebukes dost correct a man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Just picture a moth getting near a flame, you know, poof. It's gone. So the beauty of your own self, you know, all of your pride and all of your self-righteousness and all this great things you think about yourself, you know, when God gets a hold of you and starts to correct you, all of a sudden that's all gone. There's no pride. There's no room for pride. There's no room for self. There's no room for all that. There's just, you're just on the floor.
Amen, brother.
You're on the floor.
Hallelujah.
When thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume like a moth. Surely every man is vanity.
Amen.
I believe that. Outside of Jesus Christ, this life is nothing.
Amen.
And all the efforts of other things are nothing but vanity.
Amen.
Praise God. That man that's chastened by the Lord is a different man. I say it makes you different. When the Lord rebukes his children, they're made aware. They're made aware. All their motives and objectives are challenged. And it's not by some other man challenging them. It's by Almighty God, and they know it. Praise God. But I could tell you this. Correction produces something. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to Hebrews 12. I know you know this, but we're just confirming it to your mind. Hebrews 12, verse 5. Praise God. Whoever would have thought correction's beautiful? Praise the Lord. Hebrews 12:5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Every son, every child, every daughter, every one of us has chastening. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. I did. I know there's not a lot today, but I was scared of my dad. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby.
Amen.
It produces peaceable fruit. It makes you aware of truth, of reality, of how frail we are, of our need. Not just everybody else, but our need. And it affects the way we treat other people. Lord, make me aware.
Amen.
You know, even a worldly child that was never taught properly. You ever see that? I know you get mad at the kid, but it's not his fault. Not completely, right? Worldly kid, never been taught properly, never corrected by godly parents. They're not aware of what good behavior looks like. So why? They were never chastised for their behavior. They do what they want. You know, it's hard to correct children. And sometimes people just give up and say, well, I can't do it. All right, that's a choice. You're going to get a little rat bag. That's what's going to happen. Don't give up. Amen. Amen. How many know Samantha? Would you say she's a decent person? I think we all love Samantha. You know, she's exceptional. You know, I'm so proud of her. I look at her, John, and say, oh my, look what they've done. It's a help of the Lord, see? But when she was a little kid, she used to spin around on the floor and cry and scream. And I remember, like yesterday, saying, she's never going to be able to go to school. Look at her. Can you imagine? Look at that. She's spinning around, you know, it's like her head turning around, you know, spitting out blood. And I'm thinking, but we didn't give up on her. Praise God for that. But there were times when you wanted to. Hey, we got a lot of kids. You want one? And it's like that for all of us. We all have moments. All of our children have moments. We have moments with God where God could look at us and say, but he doesn't give up. He doesn't throw the clay away. Molds us and shapes us and then just digs in and molds us again. Stay on the wheel. Don't give up. God is our maker. He's got a purpose for the trials of our life. He knows about every one of our failures. He knows about every one of our sins before we were born. Don't give up.
Amen.
Keep pressing.
Hallelujah.
There's mercy with the Lord.
Amen.
He sees those that trust in his mercy.
Amen.
He looks at them. The eye of the Lord is on those that trust in his mercy. Praise God. She'll never hear that probably, so. She knows I love her. She knows I love her. Very proud of her. Beautiful, beautiful young girl. And you know, I'm proud of all my children. Now, they may not be proud of themselves, but I'm looking at something they ain't looking at. I'm looking at something they ain't looking at. They're looking at where they are now. I'm looking at where they're going to be. By the mercy of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. So then Hebrews 12, verse 12. We just read down there, peaceable fruit where they're exercised thereby. See, wherefore lift up the hands that hang down. Lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight pass for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men. Can we do that?
Amen.
Well, maybe not in ourselves, but by the grace of God.
Amen.
Lord, I want to follow peace with all men. And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And remember, God don't want you to have your own holiness. He wants his holiness in you. Right? Fellowship with him and you'll get it. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, thereby many be defiled. Listen, the grace of God in you can be defiled by you holding on to bitterness and grudges. And remember, because the word of the Lord is true, and he says, we talked about prayer. What's key to prayer? Forgiveness. Because he says, forgive everyone what they've done, so that God can forgive you. So if you hold on to a grudge or bitterness, which bitterness comes from holding on and not forgiving, and bitterness does lead to physical and spiritual trouble.
Amen. It's true, brother.
I think that's proven. So if we don't forgive, God can't forgive.
Amen.
So that root of bitterness springing up troubles you and troubles the grace of God in our life.
Amen.
See, the grace of God will have an effect on us if we can have grace towards other people. But if we won't forgive, then we're going to have trouble with our relationship with God and everybody else.
Amen.
Help us, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, teach us your ways. Teach me your ways. Teach me your paths. Verse 12, Psalm 39, verse 12. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. O spare me that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. You know, I was walking, I told you, and listening to the Psalms, and I was listening to this Psalm, and what was on my mind is like, make me aware, make me know mine end. And you know, right at the end of the street, a funeral procession passed by. And I started to meditate on that. I said, Lord, is that where I'm going, Lord? Well, we're all headed somewhere. But the thoughts that started to flood my mind were, this was a big funeral procession. This had to be somebody important to the world, right? Somebody maybe that achieved success. Somebody that had achieved renown. You know, you ever see some funeral processions look like, well, okay, that was like, you know, the average Joe. And then some are like, who was that guy? Right? And they're coming down this street, and I'm thinking, look at this. This thing's never going to end. Who was this? Now, it doesn't matter to me who it was, but the thought that came to my mind was he aware? Was he aware of his need for a Savior? Or was he unaware that he was lost? Think of that. It doesn't matter what other people in this life think about you. It doesn't matter what this world calls success. The only thing that matters is what God sees.
Amen.
Oh, and I was really blessed in my soul because I realized, Lord, thank you for showing me my need. Thank you for leading me to Calvary. Thank you for showing me the power of the blood. Thank you for making me aware of the need for the Holy Ghost in my life. I was so blessed to realize that God had changed me and made me something different. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I ought to be, but I'm not what I used to be. And I look back and I say, God, you have made me aware of so many blessed things. And I had to stop the tape. I had to stop the recording because I had to spend some time praising the Lord.
Amen.
Anybody that's been made aware, you just realize, oh, I just want to praise God.
Amen.
He's so worthy of our praise and worship.
Amen.
And I was thinking about the things he made me aware. You know, he made me aware that Lord our God is one.
Amen.
The creator of the universe. There's only one God. And his name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He made me aware of that. I'm so convinced of that. I have not one doubt in my mind that all other religions are vain. There's only one Savior, and his name is Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
There is no other name under heaven by which a man can be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. There is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. That cross of Calvary is so valuable to me.
Hallelujah.
If one man just looks, he can live if he believes and accepts.
Amen.
He took my place.
Amen.
Oh, I love being made aware that Almighty God, the creator of the universe, he didn't send another to die, but he came himself.
Hallelujah.
That changes my thought about him.
Amen.
I always felt a little weird about that.
Amen.
He sent his son. He sent his son. You know, people talk about that and talk about that. I said, but when I realized, when I was made aware, he came himself.
Amen.
He came as the Son.
Amen.
He came in the office of Son. The Jesus Christ of the New Testament is the Jehovah God of the Old Testament.
Hallelujah.
He came himself. What a God. What a Savior.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
He always was and always will be. Before time began, he existed. Have you been made aware that there's a God? There's only one. His name is Jesus. He created this world to make people aware of Himself. To manifest His attributes, to share the life that was in Him.
Amen.
We're not going to live eternity in our own selfish life. We live eternally because He gave us a portion of His life.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. He created the universe by His word.
Amen.
This being, He's so powerful. He's so wonderful. He spoke, and it was so. I believe that with all my heart. Think about it. He fashioned the universe, and then He took special attention on this little piece of dust that we call Earth. And I believe He made this Earth so special so we could live in it. Because they can keep looking, talk about vain efforts. They're never going to find a place like this. Because this is the place that took His attention, and the darkness was on the face of the deep, and it was void and empty and dark, and the Spirit of God moved on the face. See, this place is different because of what God did. Christians are different because of what God does.
Amen.
The Spirit of God moved on the face of, and He said, let there be.
Hallelujah.
Let there be. That creative word of God went out. It went out. And where did it go to? It hit the dust and the emptiness of this earth. And that word just went right to that material. And bam, that material absorbed the word of God, and it changed. From nothing into something wonderful. Who was God speaking to in Genesis 1? He was speaking to the material that would bring forth what He said. Who's God speaking to in the last days? God has made me aware. His word went to the material that would produce what He said. Woo! We're not here just to be another denomination, another church. We're here to produce the Word of God. We're here to demonstrate the Word of God. We're here to manifest the Word of God. We're here to produce another Book of Acts church.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Somebody's going to be made aware. Help us, Lord. Oh, let's turn to Psalm 19. I can't take it no more. Psalm 19.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, you know, you're just walking down the street. People just see some old fat guy. Say, man, you better walk a little more, buddy. You need some help. But inside, something's going into my mind. Inside, something's penetrating. Inside, I believe that invisible Spirit of God is hovering, quickening His word.
Amen.
And I can't take it no more. I got to turn it off, and I got to brisk my head and say, praise God. I may look like nothing, but there's something that's something inside of me.
Hallelujah. Praise the
Psalm 19, praise verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. He's speaking to us. He created this universe. He created this earth. He created us and placed us here. And all we got to do is look up and say, praise God. Can you hear Him? Look unto me and be saved. What a wondrous sight. And you know, you think about it. Many people go through life and they got all their problems. They're looking at their self. They're looking at such a small part. And then they fail to look up. But every day it's faithful. The gospel is such a faithful gospel. It's there by the grace of God declaring the glory of God. Whether you look at it or not, it's there. Praise God. So that someone might just stop for a moment and look. There is a God. Save me, Lord. I love that about God.
Amen.
He's faithful.
Amen.
He is faithful.
Amen, brother.
Oh, I got to move on. We'll never get done. What other things did God show us? There is a real born again experience.
Amen.
I realize there's been a lot of fakes. There is a real church of the living God. I realize there's a lot of churches.
Amen.
You know, today they talk about fake news all the time. What about fake church?
Amen.
It's everywhere. But I become aware there is a real. There is a genuine. And just because we find a counterfeit dollar doesn't mean there's no real dollars anywhere. I've said that so many times to people that are tired of looking at fake church. I said, listen, just because you find a counterfeit dollar, does that prove there's no real dollars?
Amen.
And that goes in their mind. They start to say, that's right, it doesn't. I said, actually, it proves there is a real dollar somewhere. There is a real, genuine, born-again experience. I remember I took a job somewhere, and I was real quiet, and they're trying to figure you out. You know, everybody's always trying to label you and figure you out. And I was just doing my job. And then they found out. Eventually, they find out you're a Christian. Eventually, they're going to find out.
Amen.
So they found out, and this woman, she was Catholic, and she's not very aware of anything, and she says, you're not one of them born again things. So I was aware that she's unaware.
Amen.
That there's a real born again Christian. And I was aware that there was another guy in the office who she thought was the biggest hypocrite on the face of the earth and claimed to be a born again Christian. See, what's the biggest stumbling block? Is when someone claims something, but their life don't show it.
Amen.
So I said, listen, I'm not what you're talking about, but I have been born again. I have been born again. It happened to me. I can't deny it. Put me on a lie detector test. I met God one day, not because I was good, but by the grace of God. He touched me.
Amen.
The seal of God is the Holy Ghost. That's our token. That's our ticket out of here.
Amen.
Are you aware of that? It's not because you're in the message. What's that mean anyway?
Amen.
You're in a message? How many messages do you have to be in to be the message? How many messages do you have to hear? Which ones do you have to know? The wedding garment is the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That is the seal of God. That is the token. That's what we need to get out of here. Not because you believe God sent a prophet. That's a wonderful thing if you're aware of that. That's not all. The devil is very aware God sent a prophet to this generation, and he don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
My hope is in the cross of Calvary. Amen. Nothing in my arms I bring. Whenever I come to God, nothing in my arms I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. I claim nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
I realize all other trust is in vain. Don't trust in your works. Don't trust in anything else. Trust in the cross of Calvary. Praise God. The true security of the believer is in Christ.
Amen.
The truth of the Godhead, serpent seed, this end time message made us aware.
Amen.
Praise God. Aren't you glad of that?
Amen.
You know what I appreciate about this end time message? It exposed the devil.
Amen.
It made me aware of the tactics of the devil. It made me aware that these systems of religion were not started by God. They're started by the devil. God did something, but then the devil hijacks. Did you ever notice that?
Amen.
There may be a true move of something genuine, but it gets hijacked by a wrong spirit and goes the wrong way. Right? Always that way. And what happened in the beginning, you see, I love how Brother Branham said it in the seals. He said, first there was a saying. See, the true gospel come out. And what's the devil going to do? The devil knows if you got the purity of the true gospel, you're going to have the power of the true gospel.
Amen.
So he's got to pervert it. And you know how he does it? He doesn't outright deny it. He has a saying. Hey, did you know there's really three persons in one God? Starts out as a saying. Passed down the lane. And they go, yeah, I never really understood that Father, Son, Holy Ghost thing. And three persons, yeah. And then they got a community of brothers And they got this one true lone brother over here going, the Lord our God is one.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And they start huddling against this guy. Well, he's not aware of the truth of the Trinity doctrine. Because the saying becomes a doctrine. And then the doctrine becomes a forcing. That's what Brother Branham exposed the devil. And that's happened around this message. The message come out in purity and its simplicity. He said, say what I said. And then and he got a saying. Hey, did you know? We ain't just got six seals. We got them all. Really? That's not what he said. He's not whispering secrets to you. Obviously, you're unaware. You don't have a revelation. See, the saying starts out as a saying. And then it becomes a doctrine. And then it becomes a forcing, just like the Trinity.
Amen.
If you don't believe the seventh seal the way us brothers do, you're out of the message.
Amen.
And I sit there and say, you know what? I'm saying just what he said. And you didn't put me in, so you can't put me out.
Amen.
And if you had a higher revelation than me, your spirit would be a lot better than that sorry spirit on you.
Amen.
Woo! I don't really say that, but I think that. But then a fool speaks older mind, so I don't say it. Praise the Lord. Listen, when you're a child of God, you know where you stand. You don't need to argue with everybody. When somebody's arguing all the time, I wonder, they don't know where they stand. They're trying to convince you while they're trying to convince themselves. I'm already convinced. I passed from death unto life. Woo! Anyway, brother and sister, don't worry about the devil. Just get into Christ.
Amen.
The truth of the doctrines God made us aware down through the ages. Amen. Let's look at John 4. I want to show you something wonderful as we close here. Verse 23. But the hour cometh. He's talking to the woman at the well. You know, she became aware, standing in his presence.
Amen.
But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
For the Father seeketh such to worship him. He seeketh such to worship him. See why the pure gospel matters? And see why having the right spirit matters? He's not seeking someone to worship him that's just got truth and the wrong spirit. He's not seeking someone, see, that's got the right spirit but the wrong doctrines. He's seeking someone in spirit and in truth. To me, that's what's precious about the message. The purity of the message. Spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I am that speak unto thee am he. I am that I am. Praise God. She dropped her Bible and went to tell everybody, hey, the Messiah's here. Praise God. She became aware. You know, on the road to Emmaus, those guys are walking down the road with Jesus.
Amen.
They were walking down the road with Jesus and they didn't know it. But then Jesus did something. He opened their eyes and they become aware. Amen. Did not our hearts burn within us as we talked to him along the way?
Amen.
God was talking to them and they didn't even know it. Hallelujah. This end time message, there is a bride and she heard a voice and they said, well, yeah, that's just a Kentucky hillbilly. No, there was a voice behind a voice.
Amen.
Speaking. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. The voice of God speaking through a man.
Gloria a Dios.
I believe with all my heart. They can criticize all they want. They can walk away all they want. I heard a voice within the voice.
Amen.
I heard a message from God.
Amen.
And I don't see nothing wrong.
Nothing wrong.
I don't see no faults.
Amen.
What about this? What about that? I said, you're looking at the wrong thing. Praise God. Manifesting the word of God, confirming the true gospel. The heart of the message was what? Not Christ and Brother Branham. It was Christ in you.
Amen.
Let's all stand. Praise the Lord Jesus. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Let's bow our heads to Him. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, how precious you are to us, Lord. Lord, I stand here an unworthy man. Should have been cast aside. You had every right to toss me aside, Lord, to not pay one attention to me, and you still do, Lord. But Lord, one day, grace, somehow we found grace. And grace found us, Lord. And I'm so grateful for your mercy. And Lord, I want everybody to experience the grace of God. Lord, I want everybody to know you and the saving power of Calvary and the blood that was shed, Lord. I want everybody to be saved, Lord. But I can't do it. It takes you, Lord. It takes your Spirit. Lead us and guide us by your Spirit. May we find the last one that would come in. Help us, Lord Jesus, to not stop reaching out, to not stop sharing these truths that we've been made aware of. Lord, sometimes it becomes common to us, Lord, but it shouldn't, oh God. These wonderful, wonderful truths of eternal life. I thank you for the privilege we have of gathering today, fellowshipping around your word. And Lord, I thank you that each and every day we wake up with life and breath in us, Lord, that we can turn to you. We can turn our thoughts to you, God, and we can seek you, Lord, and we can read the Bible, and your Spirit can quicken that word to us. I thank you for that, Lord. I appreciate all you've done. Lord, have mercy on us, Lord. We're trusting in your mercy. We're trusting. We want to be part of that bride. We don't deserve it, Lord. We can hardly ask for that, Lord, but you've led us to this place. And Lord, we just want to be what you want us to be. Forgive us where we failed you, where we've grieved you, Lord, where our carnality has pushed somebody away from you, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Help us to know our days. Help us to realize how frail we are, Lord. Bless each one that's here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Isn't he wonderful? Wonderful. Wonderful. Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God is he. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer. Praise his name. Can we find that one, Sean? Wonderful, wonderful. Jesus is to me. There it is, number 169. Oh, my heart sings today, sings for joy and gladness. Jesus saves, satisfies, banishes my sadness. Guilt is gone, peace is mine. River, Jesus, he's wonderful. He's mighty to deliver. Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Just worship him now. Oh, he's here today. Counselor, Prince of Peace.